News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, hey, listen, first, before we go on to this next piece that I really enjoy, I'm going to tell you real quickly about my friends at ZLA Solutions. ZLA Solutions, I mean, maybe you're looking for a job right now. And ZLA Solutions, I do know these people personally, too. I mean, I love doing personal endorsements, especially when it's someone who I'm very, you know, fond of or know personally or have worked with. And so ZLA Solutions, they fit all those categories. And what they do is they basically find the job and the person and put the two together. If you're looking for a job, go to their website, ZLAUSA.com. They've got jobs with benefits and pay posted all over the state of Alabama. And then if you're an employer looking to fill out the ranks of your workforce, again, go to ZLAUSA.com. Check it out. They can do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing if you need it. They can do all that. Blue collar, white collar, no collar, it does not matter. ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. That's ZLA Solutions at ZLAUSA.com. All right, we're going to that thing that I enjoy so much. Copper is pretty good at putting her thoughts together and presenting it in such a way that anybody of any generation would want to hear it. But I love the fact that she speaks from her generation with a conservative perspective. And so, Copper, the microphone is yours.
Copper's Corner, a safe space for hard truths.
Well, happy Wednesday. Wednesday, everybody. So we've all heard of racism, sexism, even ageism. Has anyone heard of youthism? No, didn't think so. Even in the height of victimhood culture, few seem to care about how the youth are struggling. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to coin a new hashtag for spreading outrage, but I do think it's strange how the genuine problems of some demographics can be largely downplayed or even ignored. Now, right now, the youth of our country faces a huge double standard regarding our responsibilities and rights. On one hand, we're coddled and deprived of job opportunities to the point that young adults enter the world with no conception of how to act professionally. On the other hand, minors are given the choice to mutilate their bodies if they think themselves a different gender, or can secretly obtain abortions without parental consent. This week, we've seen the culmination of the media's hate campaign against Kyle Rittenhouse. Like with Nick Sandman, the mainstream media and elected officials alike have shown no qualms about trying to destroy the reputation of a minor, regardless of the facts or evidence. They've lambasted these children with even more hostility than they direct towards some adult political opponents. I can't even keep track of all the various laws that define what the youth can and cannot do. There's a different age for being able to get a job, a car, to join the military, vote, get a drink, change your health insurance, and so on. These laws then vary from state to state as well. Are we adults at 18 or not? In Alabama, now we're not adults until we're 19. Rather than being a child and then becoming an adult, instead we're faced with a confusing, amorphous time period where we slowly accumulate our full rights as adults. Now consider, this time period, if you start at age 15 when you can get a work permit and a driver's learner's permit, up until age 25 when you must leave your parents' health plan, is an entire decade where you're neither fully a child nor fully an adult. Now, in some ways, the youth is given too much responsibility. How on earth is it acceptable for the government and school systems to bribe 13-year-old children to get a potentially unsafe vaccine without parental consent? In other ways, we've destroyed the ability of the youth to learn and mature. With a vast jobs shortage, I've heard crickets about trying to recruit a vast source of labor who's chomping at the bit. Why impede the ability of a 15-year-old to get a job and learn how to become a productive member of society, only to shamelessly turn around 10 years later and berate them for their lack of experience? In some ways, we're expected to act with the maturity of adults, but with none of the privileges. And in other ways, adults have pampered and enabled the youth without placing any expectations on their behavior. And we're also not so stupid that we don't realize that these differing expectations and laws exist to suit the agenda of those in power. I mean, the Biden administration doesn't care about enabling 13-year-olds to make good health decisions. They just want to exercise their control in yet another way. Now, as a largely conservative audience who's experienced how incredibly frustrating it can be for the left to apply one standard of behavior to themselves and a vastly different one to us, I think this is an issue we can empathize with and should take seriously. Biblical wisdom also cautions us. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Recently, I saw a story out of Southern Illinois about a 21-year-old, or no, she was a 20-year-old woman, who just bought her first house. Her older neighbor proceeded to harass her, refusing to believe that she was the property owner. She ended up trespassing on the young woman's property, even calling the police on her, accusing her as a squatter when the younger woman refused to produce the paperwork at her neighbor's demand. This young woman had to explain everything to the police and prove she owned the house, while her neighbor got off without any problems. Now, this young woman's father then even told her she was the one who had been a jerk for making an enemy of her neighbor when she could have just showed her all her private information. How have we gotten to the point where it's so absurd to see a 20-year-old member of society working and buying their own home that trespassing and harassment is seen as fine even by the victim's parents? Even earlier this week, I was eating lunch in a cafe, and I couldn't focus on my work because an older couple behind me was griping so loudly about one of their friend's children. They said, "This boy sleeps till 6 p.m. He told me he was up until 8 a.m. playing video games. Why didn't the mom just take his Xbox away? This is what's wrong with the youth these days." But do you hear yourself? Why isn't your conclusion, "This is what's wrong with the parents these days"? You're quite aware the mother isn't teaching her son proper self-control, yet you're only willing to blame the child? I constantly encounter this attitude. I can't count the number of times I've heard leaders, politicians, and pastors blame the problems of our country on the youth. And I can count, on only one hand, the number of times I've heard one of my elders say, "We've failed the youth. How can we change and help them?" Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up your child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." If the youth has largely abandoned conservatism and traditional American values, who is at fault? Now, I don't minimize the responsibility of the youth and of individuals. If you've heard my other segments, you know I don't hesitate to call out my generation for our failings. But likewise, how can my elders not be grieved for their role in our current crises? My father has worked in youth ministry for over 20 years. He recently started searching for a new call and is considering how he'd attract more young adults to his new church. 20 to 30-something-year-olds are the least represented age demographic in all churches across the board. I thought to myself, I know exactly how you can get young adults back into church. Admit to how you also failed us. Confess that you have exasperated us. Show us your grief for the turmoil we have experienced. Consider with compassion how the defining moment of millennials' childhoods was 9/11. And then we could watch that on repeat as we were dumped with unlimited digital information. Consider also the defining moment of Gen Z's childhood was the isolation and terror of COVID. We know how broken we are, loaded with mental health problems, debt, relational crises. We don't need to be told yet again how much we mess up. We need to be told we're not the only ones who have, and that you'll come alongside us as we try to adjust for a better course, especially as youth, like Kyle Rittenhouse, face united hate against them. And that's Copper's Corner.
Oh, Copper. Good stuff. Good stuff. So, several thoughts. I'll tell you another one to throw in there in terms of scriptures, 1 Timothy 4:12. I don't know if you recognize that one, but 1 Timothy 4:12, Timothy was literally left in charge of one of the new church groups, and Paul was writing to him because the elders were giving him grief because he was so young.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and so 1 Timothy 4:12, Paul's writing to Timothy, and he says, "Let no one look down on you because you're young, but in your speech, your life, your love, your faith, and your purity, just show them an example of one who believes." And so basically what he was doing was encouraging them to you're young, but you know what? Hang in there, and just keep setting the example. And I've used that many times. And I'll tell you, it is interesting, and I thought about this many times, especially when I was in a war zone. At 18 years old, you can go to war,
yeah,
but you can't have a drink till you're 21. Mm. And it's kind of wacky. But good stuff, Copper. That's what's your take on that nebulous period. I mean, are you saying that do you think we ought to standardize adulthood means everything here at this date, or what?
Yeah.
Because there are different dates.
I think so. I think it's getting a little crazy how many different dates there are, and the teenage years are kind of a recent invention. In the
they
rest
are.
Of human history, you were either a child or you were an adult. And I think there's
yes.
some wisdom to that.
That is true. Now, I would not have wanted my daughter married at 13,
true.
But nonetheless.
True.
But nonetheless, you're right. The teenage years are a product of the 21st century, or 20th century, I mean, largely. That's an odd conundrum of Western society in the 20th century. And it came with, the funny thing was it came with protections. I read a study on that. It was because of the enactment of child labor laws that prevented the abuse of children in working situations that created the fact that these kids then couldn't go to work, and it changed what they did with their lives, and suddenly we had teenagers.
Yeah. An incredibly good law that we needed, but now it's gone so far the other direction that we don't become working adults until 25, 22, something.
I know. And then you have some that live in, mom's basement till they're 35.
Yeah.
But, one thing we did have, though, and I was proud of this, one of the bills that I was able to sponsor in the state Senate was the dual enrollment bill, which allowed for kids who were in high school to also dually enroll in a technical college, and they could graduate from high school prepared for the workforce with a certification in something that put them right into the trades. Because we know that not every kid's going to go to a white-collar college situation. And so that was one of those highlights of my time in the state Senate.
I love dual enrollment. I did that my senior year. It's great.
Yeah, very cool. All right, take us to a break, Copper. Good job. Copper's Corner, you guys. It's one of my favorites of every single week. I usually get something out of every single one of them. And by the way, you can hear Copper's Corner again or send it to somebody if you wanted to, because it's on the website by the next day. We post them in podcast form on rightsideradio.org. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We'll be right back.